We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, a weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your network and community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Wayne Breitbarth. He is the CEO of Power Formula LLC. Wayne is an experienced businessman, speaker, and author, and an internationally recognized industry leader in LinkedIn training, marketing, and consulting. He has shared his expertise with more than 80,000 business professionals through private business consulting, dynamic presentations to worldwide audiences, and his critically acclaimed book, The Power Formula for LinkedIn Success, now in its third edition. He has been featured in Forbes, Inc., Wired, and American Express Open Forum, and seen on NBC and Fox Business. Wayne works with companies to develop a comprehensive strategy for using LinkedIn to increase sales, raise brand awareness, recruit employees, and reduce recruiting fees, and discover new markets for products and services. He shares his proven five-step process for LinkedIn results with individuals through his online course, Explode Your Revenues Using LinkedIn. He has a CPA, receiving an accounting degree from the University of Wisconsin-Whitewater, and an MBA from Marquette University, and has received recognition for his public service in the Milwaukee community, where he resides with his wife of 35 years. Wayne, welcome to the show.
Lori, great to see you again. This is going to be fun.
I'm really excited because obviously LinkedIn is the ultimate networking tool, and that's what this show is all about. So, that being said, I'm sure we have a lot of questions around LinkedIn. Lots of changes taking place. What are the most important things that people need to know to correct or change right away on LinkedIn?
So the big deal recently, and LinkedIn has made changes pretty much every year since it's come out, but this latest change is pretty significant. And it relates to the fact that Microsoft bought LinkedIn towards the end of last year, and they paid $26 billion, and anything with a B is awfully big. And so I think they had to find a way to pay for it. So the change is twofold. As it relates to people's profiles, the profile will now look like what we have had on the app for about a year and a half. So it'll look very similar to what we've been looking at on our phones for some time now. The other change is when it comes to searching and using the search features on LinkedIn. They really pulled back on the number of free filters that you get when you're on that free account. And so that's sort of causing a lot of angst in the power user world. Because still 20% of the people are on the paid account and 80% of the people are on the free account. And that's based on, I do a survey every year of people that are following me on LinkedIn. And that the most recent survey says that's the breakdown. So, you know, the 20% that are paying are not in quite as much angst as the 80%, the upper 80% who are using this sort of, I like to say, freeloading, where they really figured out how to use LinkedIn and make money and recruit people and so on and so forth, but they haven't anteed up and pulled out their credit card yet. So truth be told, as I speak 2-3 times a week, I was always thinking, this is really pretty great for nothing. So I just felt it was coming sooner or later. And so it did come. So, you know, there's some new strategies that people have to follow on the new profile, especially on the new profile, because the whole concept is they've collapsed a bunch of content and made it where you have to click one more time, see more, see description.
Yep.
And where your profile used to be entirely open, with, I like to say, with all the drawers open.
Yep.
So you could, and that took you longer to scroll through somebody's profile. So it had a lot more words and it's cleaner now. But now you have to count on people clicking open things or really take advantage of the spots that are open already. And, you know, we can get into that if you'd like a little bit more. And on the searching thing, people are just going to have to, if they're not going to pay, they're going to have to start getting much better at Boolean search logic. Because the search engine starts off with you dropping in some kind of a keyword, or more importantly, a string of Boolean operators, you know, like marketing and vice president, where you used to be able to, in the box, put marketing in the keyword, vice president in the title box, and then it would go look for that. Now you've got to get better at understanding just a few of those ands and ors and quotes around the words and that kind of thing, which it sounds fine for people like you and I that are probably better, get, you know, we've been doing this for a while. It's what we do for a living, this whole space of SEO. And But for those people that don't use it a lot, it's like, really? You know, really? And they get confused, especially people that are a little bit older. You know, I'm 59 years old, and a lot of the people that I teach and work with, business owners, are in that age group, and they need simplicity when it comes to a space like this that we didn't grow up with. So so those are the two major changes.
Yeah, so they made it harder to use the search, which is
they really made it harder to use the search. And the thing I'll be encouraged by is that in November, people started getting, some people were rolled into the new platform, and only about a week ago did we think everybody's got it now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
It was every week a few more people, every week a few more people. Well, since November, they've actually added some things back in.
Okay.
Maybe because we're squawking. Maybe because they're, you know, people had enough things in the help center going, what? You know, I don't know. Who knows? But I'm optimistic that they're listening a little bit to some of the complaints and brought back a few of the features that people like. And on the earlier version, it was not there.
Yep. Yeah. Well, and I would imagine that with some other platforms coming up too, like Alignable seems to be getting a lot of movement right now. I don't know if you're familiar with
that. I haven't heard
one.
Of that, but I'm going to check into that for sure. Alignable. Well, Facebook concerns me too. Uh-huh. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Facebook allowed you to start putting job ads on your business page. So that's LinkedIn space.
Yep.
You know, job postings.
Yep.
And so, I mean, it's good to have competition, right? I mean, I think the reason that LinkedIn is so bold in this big change is because I think they have felt that they are the spot.
Yep.
Like you opened up the show with, right?
Yeah.
And truth be told, we all need competition.
Yeah,
causes
absolutely.
Us to stop our game and be competitive and price things the way they should be priced because there's another sheriff in town. And so, I mean, over the long haul, I hope LinkedIn will step to the plate. But if I had a concern, it wouldn't be so much about Alignable or some of the other ones I've seen. It would be Facebook.
Yeah.
Because, you know, truth be told, Facebook's already got, whatever, 1.7 billion, right?
Absolutely.
And it already has the database where these other ones have to sort of build up this database. It took, LinkedIn's got a half a billion users. Well, that took 16 years.
Yeah.
Right. So on Alignable, let's say it takes a lot of years to get that, where Facebook goes, all we have to do is make this a little more professional friendly in some way. I mean, my thought's always been, you know, we have a personal profile on Facebook. We have a business page. If they would add professional profiles, let's call them, where it would look more like your resume or LinkedIn profile, that, and just say, well, we have different friends over there.
Yep.
And also we can see who people know. That's been one of the powers of LinkedIn. Before you know it, I'd say, well, I don't know, you know.
Yeah.
LinkedIn could be in big trouble because Facebook, with that sort of simple twist, and it sounds simple to me, I'm not a programmer or whatever,
yep.
but, you know, but they seem to be the one that I'd be most concerned, especially with some of the advertising options on Facebook now and the live streaming.
Yes.
I'm a big fan of live streaming. And I do it on Facebook and I do it on Twitter, which is Periscope.
Yep.
But I would love to be able to live stream on my profile on LinkedIn because that's where I have the largest audience.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, you know, and they've been behind.
Yeah.
LinkedIn's been behind on both those advertising and on the live streaming. So maybe Microsoft will wake up and realize that they need to move some of these things forward. Wouldn't have been so cool if Microsoft, instead of making these changes right out of the gate where they took things away, they would have added things in, got everybody comfortable with Microsoft owning LinkedIn, and then at some point make the changes they need. But instead, they went the opposite way and just took away and didn't add. So now there's just this big squawking going on, at least from the power users.
Get people riled up. Yeah,
right.
That's not necessarily
the
way we just dive into that.
It's a business lesson for all of us.
Absolutely. It is a really, really big business lesson. I'm glad you captured that. I am curious about what are those top areas that are considered the open spots, at least as of right now, knowing that they're constantly changing.
I'm glad you asked that because that's what people usually want to know. So what do I have to change? You know, maybe I had a great profile under the new desktop experience. What do I do now? The open spots that you really have to make sure that are better than ever. Your photo's got to be better. Mm-hmm. It's now in the middle and it's actually a little bit smaller. It's a circle. So it's got to be a little, probably a little closer headshot than it was before. Your headline is now front and center and is wide open, not collapsed. And so if you're only using 50 characters, you could use 120. Wake up. You got 80 characters.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Your summary, which used to be wide open, is now collapsed, except for the part that we're all referring to as the intro. The intro is the first 200 characters of your summary, which is open. And then it says see more. So you, the old days when your summary was, well, I graduated from college in this year, and then that's not it anymore. It's got to be 200 characters. So this is what I do. This is my contact information. You've already read my headline, so contact me or whatever, you know. And then your first job, the first job is wide open, uncollapsed, including the media that you can attach. Every other job experience is collapsed. And ask for you to click to see more description. So the strategy is great first entry with media attached, and then make sure that you expand upon your job titles of all your previous jobs. So for example, if you said sales manager, okay, put in parentheses specializing in point of purchase displays, advertising this, comma, close the parentheses. So you can use that job title to sort of give them a little more feel for what you did in that job, not just your title. That's open. Your job titles are open in their entirety. It's the description that's closed up.
Wow.
So, and then the other thing is they really highlighted activity.
Uh-huh.
So the fact that published post, which is articles that we're writing on LinkedIn or sharing, is way up at the top and it has this box that says activity. So if you don't have any activity, you used to have to go to somebody's profile and find this little arrow and go, oh, I want to view their activity. Now it's right up front that she doesn't have any activity.
Yep.
Right? And so it really says, how good of an expert are they with no activity, right? Especially published post takes up half of that activity box and they'll fill it up with status updates. But if you got a published post that shows the picture that you've used in that article.
Yep.
And it really pops. And then it'll also say, view 35 other articles. Well, if there's none there, guess what? You didn't write.
Yep.
If there's one, it says you wrote one article in the 2 years we've been allowed to write articles,
yep.
Right? If you got 55, it goes, well, right? Contributing consistently, writing articles,
yep.
Taking the time to do that, showing your expertise. So in the last chunk that opens and closes that we have to concentrate on is skills. The skill section has always been really, really important for the search engine. That's where you're supposed to put your up to your 50 most important keywords, products that you sell, brands you sell, services you sell. Keywords for job seeker would be the kind of word, the skills that people are searching mm-hmm. you for. Well, they've now decided there are three featured skills. And the featured skills are the only ones that show up and then until you click to read the rest. Featured skills are controlled by LinkedIn at least at this point. and I know. And you, so you can't move your top three up and say, I'm good to go like we used to be able to. You have to rely on LinkedIn to put the right ones up there. Now, you have to have the right words in there for it to maybe get in the featured skills. But what they're doing is they're saying like, okay, if Lori endorses me for LinkedIn, and you're in the social media space, that's more weight than, let's say, my neighbor who has nothing to do, right? So they're starting, and I like that.
Yep.
I like the fact that the skills, they're going to weight the skills by people that are qualified enough to say he's good at that,
sure.
Right? Or Lori's good at websites. I would say that and say, well, Wayne's in the online space. He's got a little more credibility with that endorsement than somebody, you know, that wouldn't ever have worked with him or understand.
So their algorithm's getting a little bit more sophisticated, which is good, because one of the things that did annoy me about skills for the longest time is it was too easy for someone to kind of give
endorse
someone
her.
Credit. Yeah, endorse you for the skill.
And they're not even asking now anymore. If you've noticed, when you go to somebody's profile, it used to always ask you.
Yep.
And now I can't even find it.
Yep.
Now you have to go to a person's profile. So I think they've realized that was sort of silly.
Sure.
They were trying to get a lot of endorsements and just get people to do something new and understand it. But I think that section is going to get better and better. But boy, I'll tell you, for people like job seekers and those of us that are trying to sell something, you better have your products and services in there in that section. Because even when you search now, if you drop a word in like marketing up in the big search box, it'll ask you, do you want to search for people with the skills of marketing?
Oh, okay.
So, and you don't have to answer yes and click that. You can just return through and it'll use it like a keyword. But a lot of people just grab it.
Yep.
And if you don't have it, no go on the list.
Wow. That's some really sound advice that you just shared. Thank you so much for that. I mean, really what it seems like, and one of my hot topics right now is personal branding. And LinkedIn is just a critical tool in everyone's personal branding with, you know, strong headshot, your headline, even your skills, you know, what you want to be known for. So definitely leverage that.
No question. I mean, if you think about how LinkedIn has evolved in that whole personal branding space, when in the beginning it was like, if you were a job seeker, you had a LinkedIn account. And the rest of us wondered why, right?
Yep.
And now, if you don't look at somebody's profile before a meeting, shame on you.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
I love that app.
Exactly.
Who am I meeting?
I don't know how many times I'm sitting in an airport going, I think I know that dude.
Yep.
And he works at this firm, but I don't know. I forgot his name. Punch in enough information. Oh, yeah, that's him. I'm going to go over and say hi, right? It's bailed me out of a million.
Absolutely.
Million.
It avoids that awkward, are you Tom or whatever?
Someday I think the next thing's going to be where they have the GPS and we'll sit in the airport at the gate and they'll go, oh, you've got three of your connections right over there at gate number 24. That's a little creepy, right?
It's definitely a little creepy.
But wait, it's probably coming. It's sort of like out of one of the movies, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure, I bet the technology's there to do that.
I think it is too. I think the creep factor probably keeps it from
being absolutely. We're not quite comfortable with that
yet.
Yeah,
right.
All right, another LinkedIn question for you. Will more people have to start paying on LinkedIn because of the changes that Microsoft has made to LinkedIn since they purchased the company?
Yes, I think the answer to that is a big time yes. Now, what I want to tell your listeners is that right now the pricing is there's a job seeker account that's about $30 a month, and then there's the premium plus or the executive plus at about $50 for the first one and $75 for the second. And then you move into Sales Navigator, which there's a light version of Sales Navigator and a TeamLink version. And then there's, of course, the recruiter versions where people are looking for jobs. There's a light recruiter version for $100 and then the $7,000 a year deal. Your listeners should, if they're going to upgrade, pass the job seeker account, skip those business plus ones, and move right to the lightest version of Sales Navigator because you do not get additional easy-to-use search filters on those other two. You get them right when you move to Sales Navigator, and the cheapest Sales Navigator is priced similar to those other two. So it would be a big mistake, especially if you pay a year ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And people are squawking about that, saying, well, what's the reason? Well, they really want us all to move to Navigator.
They don't
want to maintain all these things probably.
Sure.
They're trying to simplify, just like the mobile looks like the desktop, right?
Yeah.
And Navigator is a great tool, a really great tool. But if you've gone from zero to 60, let's say $60 a month, that's can be a lot of money for somebody. On the other hand, if you're a salesperson, if you can't swing $720 a year, haven't seen any benefit of LinkedIn for $720 a year, you're probably not using LinkedIn well enough to, you know, just have your profile because you're using something else.
Yeah. Going to the networking events and shaking hands.
Yeah.
So when you do the premium, like the free trial and the premium or whatever that's called, like I keep seeing that on my LinkedIn account to do the free trial of the paid version. Is that light version of Sales Navigator?
I think so. I think that's the one they're pushing you to for the 30 or 90 day version.
Okay.
And it's free trial. And I would tell you, boy, it's really good.
Yeah.
It's really good. And the only difference between the cheap version of Sales Navigator and the expensive one is really a thing called, you get a few more emails.
Okay.
But then it's also a thing called TeamLink. And TeamLink is designed really for people in large organizations of thousands of employees, all over the world, so that we can look at each other's network without having to connect with all of our
people.
So it allows a teaming networking kind of feature to
it. Interesting. Okay.
So the larger companies are buying that, and they're buying Like Deloitte just bought 10,000 Sales Navigator team leads for other partners and managers. Sure. Well, that makes sense. They're all over the world and they're doing business development, and the guy in San Francisco should be able to look at the guy in Chicago, right? And see, oh, we're calling on that customer. It looks like you know somebody there.
Yeah.
Instead of having to connect first. And
yeah, absolutely. I mean, it makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. And it's smart.
And TeamLink also lets you manage the account from a corporate standpoint, so that if somebody leaves your organization, you can transfer the TeamLink account to another person in your company that replaces that person.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really attach to a person. It company buys it.
That's nice. That's nice. So on the topic of LinkedIn still, you talked about, you know, some changes that people have to make, but you also mentioned, you know, either people are using it wrong. What are the biggest mistakes that people are making on LinkedIn?
It starts with not having a profile of clarity and thinking it's a resume. You know, instead of saying, who am I trying to meet? Who am I trying to impress? Who am I trying to look good enough so that they want to reach out to me? Really setting that strategy in place. And I'm sure you run into that all the time with websites and stuff.
Sure.
Is people just go, I need a website. I need LinkedIn. Well, okay, maybe. And until you boil that strategy down, then you don't even know how you should write your profile. But once you boil it down, your profile should just flow out for your target audience, right?
Yep.
So that's the first mistake, is maybe not even defining your target audience. Once you define your target audience or your buyer personas, then write your profile that way. And then the other big mistake is not having enough keywords, knowing that it's a search engine that's got to work. It's got to rank people somehow. And the keywords in the right spots and multiple spaces are really important. And so not understanding that. And then the third spot is really only connecting with people that you meet, period.
Okay.
Not thinking about LinkedIn as a virtual networking tool. We go to networking events to meet new people, or we're supposed to be, right? I mean, it's like if you go to a networking event all the time and hang out with the same dudes in the back of the room, then you go home and you say, honey, I didn't sell anything tonight. I didn't meet anybody new. Well, what'd you do? You walked in the door and you walked to the back corner with a bunch of people you're comfortable with instead of the other 95 people that were there, right? And people have used LinkedIn like that for a long time, where one of my questions when I consult with people is, what's your connection strategy? And they'll say, well, I connect with people that I know. And I say, well, that's a good starting point, but do you want to know some more people in a target area? Sure. Are you inviting people like that? No. Why? Don't know how. Scared to. Think I'll push the wrong button. You know, it boils down to that. So that's a huge mistake.
Sure.
Because let's face it, going to a networking event, and I still love them, I'm going to one after we're done here tonight. Work in that room is hard work.
Yep.
Right? And you might get nowhere right away, or maybe even ever sometimes, right, with the people you meet. That's networking, right?
Yep.
LinkedIn has that same feel to it, unless you go out and do searches for marketing people in your town at certain companies, right?
Yep.
That's not like walking in that networking room and going, oh, how am I going to find the marketing people?
Yep.
You find them, and then you send them LinkedIn requests, and you sit there and do it in your jammies at home with your dog sitting next to you, right? I mean, that's the beauty of it, and yet most people have not harnessed that.
Well, and I'm going to argue that a little bit,
okay,
because one of the things that does annoy me, and as a business owner, I do get a lot of blind inquiries, people that I don't know, but it's just that canned connect with me on LinkedIn. And I'd be open to having that discussion with someone if there was a little bit more thought put into the nature of why you're interested in connecting with me, as opposed to just the, you know, I'm just going to click connect to all these people because I want to connect with them. So,
well, you're spot on. What I suggest, if you're going to connect with people you don't know, that you always, always, always write a custom invitation.
Oh, yes.
And that's even on the phone. And people go, well, I can on my phone. Yes, you can. It's the three little dots up in the corner. When you're on a person's profile, and then the menu will pop up and it'll say personalized invitation. So you can do it from your phone. And I totally agree with you, Lori. You should not connect with a prospect, a stranger prospect, without a customized invite that tells them why they should give a rip.
Yep.
Right? And I'm sure if you get that kind of invitation that's customized, you'll accept that most of the time. Right. Yeah. Yeah, unless it says, I want to bother you or spam you, you yeah, know.
Exactly.
But if the person usually takes the time to write that 300 character invitation, it's usually good.
Yep.
Because they've thought it through.
Yes.
And I'd be happy to, in the show notes if you want, I've got a template that I could share with your listeners with some 300 character, let's call them a can, but they're like starting points.
Sure.
And that really has helped my audiences. When I hand out that sheet of paper and go, see these? Oh, yeah, that makes sense. I said, you need your own.
Yeah.
But I'm giving you sort of, this is what 300 characters looks like, and these are the components of the things that go into the 300 characters. We could share that with the audience.
I bet the listeners would love that.
We'll be happy to attach it to the show notes.
Absolutely.
I'll get that to you.
Fantastic. It is something that it does annoy me when someone doesn't take the time to do it, but I will take the next step and respond, not accept, but respond and ask, you know, can you advise the nature of why you would be interested in connecting? And I would say maybe about 20% of the time someone does come back and says, oh, this is the reason why. And then I might take that next step forward, but
The other people you've scared away, which is fine probably, right?
Yes.
Because just by you stepping back and asking, you know, saying something like, my network is made up of people that I've met over the years. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure we've ever met. What's your intention for connecting? You'll scare away spammers at that point.
Oh, totally.
But that's an extra step, right?
Yep.
So you're doing it correctly. And it just, LinkedIn should not have some of these fields filled in.
Yep.
Right? So the standard invite, it shouldn't exist.
Yep, I agree.
It should require a message.
Yep.
Right? That way, it will force us to say, what do I want?
Uh-huh.
Why would I be helpful to you? Why could we work? Where's the collaboration? What's going on, right?
Yeah. So let's dive into some networking questions here.
Cool.
And obviously, LinkedIn has got some good networking.
All right.
But I am really interested in hearing your most successful or favorite networking story that you've had?
Wow. That's a good one. Man, I'm trying to think of one that's fairly recent. I have so many of them because of what I do, you know,
uh-huh.
and I write a weekly tip. And so people are spreading my stuff around. About a week and a half ago, a guy pings me on LinkedIn. He did not send me a custom invitation, and I didn't know who he was. But I did look at his profile, and he looked like definitely a big enough company that could hire me and a nice title. And I thought, okay, he didn't do the right thing, but maybe he was sitting on his phone, didn't know about the three dots, right?
Sure, yep.
So I answered it. I accepted, but I immediately went back and fired him back a note that say, thanks for connecting. I appreciate that. Wondering if you had any questions for me or what was your intention for connecting. And he then wrote me a long note about how 2 years ago, a friend of his had come to a free job seeker class that I had taught. And at the end, we used to give away a couple of free books, and I signed the book, and his friend had been carrying that book around and telling everybody about me. And now here comes this guy who's got this company, and we've already done a proposal, and I'm going to go work for him later this year. So it was like, you know, I took the time to just hand out a free book and do the event, which I know when I do job seeker classes, I don't get paid. So I'm doing that to give back, right? And the next thing you know, this guy networks with a friend and says, who's that book? What's that all about? And then it comes right back around. And I mean, it really boils down to you always got to be on your toes because you
totally.
Don't know, right? You just don't know who's going to be the next thing. You just don't know who's going to talk to somebody.
Yep.
That's why one of the things I teach people is this. When you get inbound invitations and they don't have a custom invite, some will be spammers,
uh-huh.
right? Some will be from places in part of the world that mean nothing to you. You could ignore those. But all the others, let's say it's somebody in your space, whether that's your town or your industry, instead of looking like, what do you want? Why are you, right? Instead of that attitude, look at them and go, I'll bet you you're here because you heard about me.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I'll bet you this is a referral that you just didn't take the time to say she sent me or he sent me. And I'll bet you've already decided that you might want to work with me. If you approach every inbound invitation that way, once you get rid of the spammers, Trust me. And then fire back a nice little note. Guess what? That will start happening to people.
Yeah.
Right? Because nobody's so bored they're just connecting with people randomly, right? They're connecting because something happened or something's up or there's a referral going on. And, you know, in the space that I live in, with where I speak 3-4 times a week and books out there, over 80,000 copies at this point, that's where I get most of my business is from that and people telling people about me. I don't spend any money advertising other than once in a while I boost a Facebook post just to see it,
sure.
for grins because I think it's cool. But
yeah.
Otherwise, it's all networking. It's all, you know, I still in town here. I still find the right networking events here in town as much as I'm out of town. When I'm not, I'm still there. And I find that, you know what, if I didn't do that 3-4 months ago, guess what? This month might be a slower month.
Yeah.
It's not an exact count of months, but we know that, right?
Oh, yeah.
We know if we didn't do any networking, which is really marketing,
yep.
That we'll go, well, I've been sitting in my office crunching things out, making money, but I forgot that I got to do marketing too. As entrepreneurs, we have to do that.
Absolutely. Wow, that's so enlightening. And really what it comes down to is your mindset. When you know, going back to that random inquiry that comes in, I'm just thinking of some recent requests that I've had, you know, and they were people locally and, you know, potentially clients or something, but it never dawned on me, like, there's a reason they reached out. It's not just someone's trying to...
I mean, one of the things I do, and you may want to take this one away, Lori, is when I get an inbound invitation, I get rid of the spammers,
mm-hmm.
and we know what they look like.
Sure, yep.
Hardly any connections, no pictures or yep. picture that's not there, blah, blah, blah. And then I have a cut and paste that I send out. If they don't customize the invite, if it's customized invite, then I always answer whatever
sure.
they,
yep.
but if they aren't, if they didn't customize their invite and I want to let them on my network, I will accept and then I'll send them a message right away that says something like this. Hi, thanks for connecting. I appreciate that. I look forward to being your go-to LinkedIn resource. And to get that started, I have a weekly LinkedIn tip that I send out for free. Would you like to be on the list? And I typically will hand my wife, who puts all my names into my mm-hmm. Infusionsoft, my follow-up system, you know, my
sure.
email,
yep.
at least a sheet to a sheet and a half of names every week that come from that just because I asked if you want to be on my list.
Wow.
Right? And yes, it takes me some time to do that cut and paste and keep the little list up. But that's a page or a page and a half of people that have already visited my LinkedIn.
Yep.
They've asked me to connect, and now they're on my email list, and we both know what email lists are all about.
Oh, yeah.
They're money.
It is.
Right?
Yep.
They're money. I mean, the social tools are nice, and I like them, but they can change overnight, but nobody can mess with my email
yeah.
list.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's
it
fantastic.
Works. And I've been trying to teach most sales guys to do that, business owners to
yep.
do that. Say, don't just accept. Maybe ask for a phone call, but at least get them on some kind of list or something,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Assume that they needed you. That's
yep.
we're back to that. It's the
yes.
mindset to say, assume they need you and how could you help them? Not assume they're bothering you.
Yes. Such powerful information here. I love it. Oh my goodness. And we're only a couple questions in. Okay. Well, I know that you have a very large and extensive network, but large or small, it's really important to continue to nurture your network. How do you stay in front of or best nurture your network?
So my number one tool is my free weekly LinkedIn tips that mm-hmm. I write. And I do it every Sunday afternoon it goes out. And it's a lot of work. You know, that's a weekly blog
oh, yeah.
that I do, right? And it's a heck of a commitment. And I don't know of any of my competitors, though, that do it every week like I do. They're consistently maybe once a month, maybe every other week. So my first nurturing tool is my weekly tip. And I'm blessed to have a wife that does all my editing and all my proofreading. Thank goodness I have that because I'm learning to be a better writer.
Uh-huh.
I'm really, really good at LinkedIn, but I'm not as good a writer as she is.
Okay.
And so I've got that person built into my house and she's real cheap. I guess I don't care. So that's number one. Number two, nurture is on LinkedIn itself. I'll also take that weekly tip and then put it in a published post right away. Might
okay.
as well. It's
yep.
done. And then I'll share status updates, probably 3-4 a day. And some of those will come through me scheduling using a tool like Hootsuite.
Yep.
And some will be, I make sure I get into the feed each and every day and see who's in my notification page and see who's mentioning me. and I'll say thank you. And I'm always real kind to say thank you, and I use the at mention so that they get a ping in their inbox that I mention them.
Yep.
I'll always say thank you for sharing. It's really kind of you. Mm-hmm. And I'll use those kind of words. You know, those are Wayne words. Those are words that if they met me, they'd know that that's genuine. Some people think, well, this guy, I do. That's what I say, right? So, and people know that. And so that's probably my second nurturing. And then I'll also do lots of, I do more free stuff than I should as far as webinars, you know,
We all do,
you know, and you need to because it's competitive out there.
It is.
And because, you know, these days people can get a lot of good information for free.
Yep.
So so I tend to use those things as well. So my social tools are really good for nurturing. And then, well, like tonight. Tonight I'm going to go to a job seeker event in town at a church in Milwaukee here. And I will promote that all week long, even though 2 weeks from now I have a paid class that I'm sure some of those people, if I wouldn't be promoting this free event tonight, would come to that paid class, right?
Yep.
And there'll be people in that audience. It's supposed to be just for job seekers. And there'll be people, there'll be business people in the audience going, well, Wayne's for free tonight. In 2 weeks, I got to pay $69, right? And it's fine. I mean, it's fine. I'm not going to teach them how to use LinkedIn for business purposes, right?
Yep.
But I feel that's a nurture too, is that people can get a hold of me and see me live for free or listen to me live on a webinar for free, because that's a test run.
Yep.
It's a test run of me being a speaker at their next event, or a test run of me doing an event for their sales team, a full workshop, a LinkedIn workshop. So they need to test run me, right? Mm-hmm. How do you test run? You can watch videos and stuff. That's also a way to do a test run. So I'd say that's the way I do most of my nurturing on my network.
Nice. So email, which I've definitely tackled that in a couple episodes here, but I am a huge believer in email is your most powerful tool.
Amen.
And so many people are not leveraging that. They collect the email addresses and they don't even do anything with them.
And, you know, I still think about the social tools, you know, that's probably my number two nurturing tool. But but every day, you like LinkedIn changing now?
Yep.
They can change, right? They can change rules and stuff. So you cannot rely on those. You cannot rely on them being here the way you like them today, a year from now, or two years, or maybe even a week from now. So you have to use those, to me, as a funnel to get email addresses into something.
Absolutely.
As I mentioned earlier, right? So I agree with you. I agree. You know,
we are people singing the same song here.
If people don't start collecting emails, they're going to be short-lived from the standpoint of having an asset that they can draw off.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So that's fantastic. And obviously leveraging the tool that you advocate the most, which is LinkedIn. So great advice there. Speaking of advice, what advice would you offer to the business professional who's looking to grow their network?
Boy, things are better. I mean, if you think about it, in the old days, before we had online, the only thing you could do is go to conventions, conferences, networking events. That was very time consuming and a lot of money. And those things still exist and I love them all yet.
Mm-hmm.
But that was it. Or you could run ads and stuff, right?
Sure.
Now we can do so much of this stuff as we sit at home between the social tools and if we grow our email list. So my advice is, but you know what it boils back to? Where's your target audience?
Yep.
Know your target audience, know your buyer personas, and then figure out where the heck they are. And if they're at the convention, then go to the convention. That's fine. If they're on a certain site and in a certain group, then that's where you should be. And you can't be everywhere. And now, in the old days, we only had these physical things to do and advertising. And now we have those things and we have social. And we're so many hours and budget in the day, right?
Sure. Yep.
So we have to get so much better at zeroing in. And so my advice is figure out your market, know where they're at, be there, stay away from the rest of the stuff because you're going to dilute your efforts down in time and money if you're over here. You know, like Facebook has not been great for me, but I haven't worked it very hard. But now as I see Facebook evolving, especially with the video, I love the video, so I'm going to start being more involved in Facebook because of that. Now, my audience, I don't have very many people over there yet that follow me, right? So that's going to be the downside while I build.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So it's find your audience and be where they are, and then making sure that you spend the time and money in the right spots, not where everybody says you better be on everything. I mean, think about those days. People are still saying that.
Yeah. No, you can't be everything to everybody.
No, because you'll be nobody to anybody.
Yeah, I mean, there's, it's very much the opposite. You need to just really be laser focused and then speak to that audience.
Correct.
Fantastic. My assumption is I know how you're going to answer this one, but I'm going to ask it anyways. Digital networking or traditional networking, which one do you find more value in?
I think digital networking is more efficient.
Mm-hmm.
Do I think it's more fun? No, I think if you like to network, and I do, that's fun.
Yep.
But the older you get, the more you don't have the energy for that kind of fun.
Okay.
As a 59-year-old, I find myself having trouble hitting too many networking events in a row or whatever. Get darn tired. But I think digital is really can be super efficient.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Traditional is, the fun. It's interesting. For the extroverts.
Yeah, it's still wonderful to meet people. But then again, you're right. For the extroverts, for some people, they never liked it in the first place.
Yep.
It was a chore.
Yeah.
And so for those people, man, digital's great.
Totally. Yeah, I've had a lot of good discussions around with introverts who just are fascinated with digital networking. And they don't even have to go to the events anymore. All right, some fun questions now. So if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Wow. My 20-year-old self. So I'm not even out of college yet. So I would say, finding the right people to start to hang out. And I'm going to assume that your question says that we have the tools we have today. Because, boy, if you have the tools we have today and you're a 20-year-old, you can start meeting executives. And when I teach at colleges, which I do often, they can go out and they can meet alumni from their college who are running companies.
Yep.
How could we have ever done that?
Yeah.
That would have been almost awkward to do that.
Yep.
Because you would have to knock on a door or call somebody. So I think I'm an accountant, right? So by nature, my technical part of me is introvert, but I've been a much more of an extroverted accountant. So I would say to try to stretch my extroverted wings a little earlier in my career. And I think social or the digital stuff would have helped me do just that.
Uh-huh.
And probably not work quite as hard as I did those first years. Oh my goodness. I was working at a public accounting firm, and did we work, especially this time of year? Oh my gosh. And then in the summer we took off. We were able to take off and have fun, but it was a grind. It was hard to do anything but work at that point. Now, you're young in your career, and I wouldn't be able to even pull that off, changing that, right? Because maybe you wouldn't get where you want to go.
Sure.
So, but it would be fun to think about that, Lori. I'd love to sort of roll it, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I would too. I would love to go back and not that I think I made mistakes, but just start running again.
Yeah. No, it's an interesting.
That's why it's fun to teach at colleges.
Oh, yeah.
Because when you get a chance to teach at colleges, you're able to. I teach at Marquette now, too. I teach a one credit LinkedIn class at the master's level, and it is fun. Now, they wanted me to actually do it all online, 4 straight Saturdays online, because that's what the students prefer.
Oh.
So I was able to talk them into the first class being live in the classroom and the 3 following Saturdays be online. I wanted to meet everybody.
Yeah. Yep.
So yeah. I love that. I love being in the college environment.
Me too. I just started teaching at UWM.
Oh, good for you.
And
yeah,
it's so much fun. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation. Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with, and do you think you could do it within the 6th degree?
Well, I'd love to meet Gary Vaynerchuk. he's in my book in the acknowledgement section.
Cool.
I thanked him because his book Crush It really changed it for me. And I listened to him a lot on all his YouTube and all that. So you feel like you know him.
Yep.
Right? I'm not exactly in agreement with how he uses his language.
Yes.
I always tell people, if I'm going to recommend Gary Vaynerchuk to you, If you read the books, they're fine. If you go online, be careful. It comes with a warning, but he will motivate you.
Oh, yeah.
He will kick you in the butt. He will encourage you. So that would be a guy that I'd like. And I did meet him once at the bookstore in town here on the Downer.
Oh, really?
After his second book.
Oh, that's cool.
He was there for the book tour. I got a chance to say hi to him, but that was it. You know,
yeah.
I mean, it would be sort of cool to hang out with him, but you know, he is a rock star.
He is totally a rock star. And I mean, why not reach out to him directly? He's pretty good about responding to
people. Oh, he's really
good.
Yeah, he's excellent. I mean, that guy works and works and works, and he's very genuine.
Yep.
You know, you get what you get with Gary.
I like that about him, yeah,
you know?
Me too.
I mean, it's not what I would do, but then I'm 59 and he's who he is and he's come from where he is. And, you know, that's what he should do.
Yeah. No, he's fantastic.
Yeah.
So how do you think you'd go about trying to reach out to him? I mean,
I think Twitter. I think if you reach out to that guy on Twitter, I think you'll get him.
Yep.
And you might have to grind him down a little bit. Because I understand he was writing a follow-up to the book Crush It.
Okay.
Where it was going to be stories of people that were inspired by Crush It. So I did send him a picture of the acknowledgement.
Yep.
And told him about how the book inspired me, and I'm 59. And, you know, because he doesn't usually get to deal with older people,
sure,
right?
Yep.
So I thought that might get him. And I haven't heard back yet. Who knows? It could be in the hopper for him to get that I'm on the list or whatever. And I pinged him actually a couple times now.
Okay.
So I think that's how I get a hold of Gary on Twitter for sure.
Well, we'll make sure to ping him too,
yeah,
and reference
there
the
you
show.
Go. Do it. Yeah, you never know. It could be you catch him at the moment he's in a cab,
exactly,
and the next thing you know, you got it.
Yeah. No,
that'd be fun for both of us.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
I know a while back he used to basically let anyone come in and interview him, but I think he's kind of grown out of that phase.
Right.
So you missed the opportunity there. All right, so moving on, you know, I think you and I are very much the same in that we are people that are constantly learning. I mean, in the digital space, things are changing so fast, but not even just the digital space, but, you know, just about ourselves and you know, people and business and life. So I'm always curious, you know, what book my guests are reading. So what book are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading a book called The Wealthy Speaker.
Okay.
And it's just that. You know, I've been speaking now for 9 years and self-trained, other than I am a member of National Speakers Association. I attend the Wisconsin chapter, and that's been really good for me. And I've never really had any training other than that organization. So that book's been very helpful. I'm almost done. I'll be able to finish it on my flight to Florida tomorrow.
Fantastic. It's a great time to get the reading in.
Amen.
All right. So any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Be focused. You know, that's been my theme for this year is to not, and that's not just for people that I'm talking to and coaching. It's for me,
mm-hmm,
is to be focused and not get all, don't be all over the map. Don't be bouncing off walls. And we all have those times when we do, but the more you can focus, the better you're going to be, because there's people and there's tools out there that can help you be focused like never before.
Yeah.
I mean, think about the old days. The world of advertising was very unfocused.
Yep.
Right?
It was.
There were three stations and, right?
Yeah.
Now it can be so focused. So why aren't we? We should be.
Yeah.
You know?
I think
the younger people do that better. You know, because they grew up with different channels and my daughters don't watch regular TV. You know, they watch this series and this series. You know, that's focus, right?
Yep.
I have to sit there and spin through all the channels. And so I think that the older people have a little problem with that because we came from the days of not focus because we didn't have the tools to focus.
Yeah. Oh, that's an interesting perspective.
So I think that's my theme and my advice for your audience. And be on LinkedIn, right?
Of course.
I gotta throw that in one more time.
Yes, be on LinkedIn. All right. So, Wayne, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what's the best way that they can reach you?
Powerformula.net is my website. All my goodies are there. Lots of free stuff. Get my book, watch the videos, read my blog. And then LinkedIn, of course. Find me there. Be sure to spell the name right. Sometimes spelled wrong because it's not like you're used to, but I'm happy to connect with people, and I look forward to people who say, hey, I heard you on Lori's podcast. Let's connect. That would be great if you did that.
Awesome. And we'll include all that information in the show notes.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for being on the show, Wayne.
You're welcome, Lori. My pleasure.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Wayne Breitbarth for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to Lori at socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.